The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I would like to try to talk about a topic that is perhaps not talked about much in American Buddhism, but is central to the Buddhism of Thailand and Burma, the traditional Theravadan Buddhism that we come out of. It's a topic which I think people can easily misunderstand, and in some ways it goes against the grain of what many people in the modern American society want, expect, appreciate, think is important. And many people, I think, when they hear this topic, are ready to protest as soon as they hear even the label for the topic. So you ready? The wonderful practice of restraint. Restraint. And restraint is to not act on something that you want to say, something that you want to do, not act based on certain emotions and feelings that are kind of coursing through us. And so on the surface, it seems to go against the grain of what Buddhism should be about, people think, which is to be free. And to be free is to be allowed to just let whatever we want to do, whatever we want to do, whatever we want to say, whatever we feel, just kind of have free rein. And the freedom to express, the freedom to do. But I think that what's more profound than the freedom to do, which in America I think sometimes gets overdone, and people sometimes will want to feel like they should be free to do whatever they want at the expense of other people's pain, is in Buddhism, the freedom that Buddhism is looking for is a freedom from. And it's a freedom from compulsion, freedom from addictive behavior, addictive thoughts, addictive speaking, freedom from blurting out unreflectively whatever we were thinking about, freedom from being obsessive, freedom from the impulses that we have that might cause conflict and tension or at least hurt in the world around us. And so to find a freedom from these things, it's still genuine freedom, but it means that kind of we're in charge rather than our compulsions being in charge. And so traditionally in Theravadan Buddhism, there's a tremendous emphasis on restraint. And one of the places that that's most emphasized is around the precepts, the five precepts, five ethical guidelines that people live by are understood to be guidelines of restraint, to restrain from killing people. So if you're inclined to kill people, it's pretty wise to restrain yourself from that. If you're inclined to take what's not given, then it's pretty wise to restrain yourself from that. If you're inclined to sexual misconduct, it's best to refrain from engaging that misconduct. If you're inclined to lying, it's best to refrain from lying. If you're inclined to intoxicate yourself, it's best to refrain from that. And some of you may know this, some of those topics, for some people, it's really hard to refrain. There's such powerful drives that have so much authority and command and can get the upper hand that, you know, there's a lot of damage gets done in the world because of it. And I suspect that half the news we read in the newspaper is there because of people who didn't practice restraint around something to do with the five precepts. So, you know, it's a good thing to have some restraint around those at least. But the ability to restrain the ability to not have to say or speak gives a person a lot of power. And so rather than something that diminishes us and makes us somehow worse, the idea of restraint or refraining, I think in Buddhist practice, is meant to actually enhance our personal power, our personal ability, in a way that we can be much more effective in the world, much more effective in the things we want to do and the things we want to change in the world. And so to refrain. So one of the common guidelines in Buddhism around restraint and to refrain is to learn to have the ability to refrain from saying and doing the things that will cause harm and or cause more problems than not. So, some people are going to various gatherings in the next during the holidays, and some of them, there's a lot of discussion now about that, at least I heard yesterday on the radio, about how difficult some family gathering is going to be around politics. And, but is it necessary to talk about politics at family gatherings? You know, what is it that's a compulsion to do so? Is there a place for restraint? Are you going to solve the political problems of the country by being in arguments and insisting you're right? Or is this not the, or that actually causes more harm? Is there more benefit to find another way and restraint from being compulsive? And one of the things we're doing in meditation practice is, we don't say this too publicly. It's not like in the publicity for mindfulness and meditation. But one of the things we're learning to do is, in fact, restraint. Come time, see, and restrain yourself. No one would come, right? But in fact, it's partly what we're doing. We come here to sit still, meditate. Sit still and be quiet. And we don't act on every impulse we have to move and to change, to adjust our posture. Every time you have an itch, and when you meditate, you don't scratch. Every time that you want to change your posture, we don't change our posture. You might change your posture, but you might itch, scratch, but not every time. If it occurs to you to say something, you don't say it. If your mind wants to wander off and think about plans for the year 2025, get really clear about what you want to do that day, and November 22nd, 2025, and it's probably not the best use of your time in meditation. So we learn to restrain ourselves from going off into those kinds of thoughts. Not now, and come back. And so there's constantly a refraining going on. Come back. I'm not going to go into that. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm not going to do that. Restrain. Refrain. And the advantage of that is that then, in meditation, we can begin settling on ourselves. We can begin checking in and say, what's really going on here? What's driving me? What's motivating me? What's really happening in some deeper way? Can I settle down, relax, and sit back in a sense, observe myself, know myself better, know the situation better? And then because we restrained ourselves, at a certain point, we see the situation better, we know ourselves better, and then we're in a much better position maybe to act or to speak. But if we make a habit of speaking and acting of every impulse that we have, our society would be a mess. Luckily, most people restrain every impulse they have. But can we do it in such a way that we don't feel limited, we don't end up living a life that's inhibited, we're not restraining ourselves because of being afraid, we're not restraining ourselves because we've been told you can't do that, but rather we restrain ourselves to feel like become more ourselves, to be enhanced, to become freer, to be more kind of present for our life in a fuller way, so that we're more grounded in who we are. And in doing so, then wisely and clearly speaking up if we need to speak up, or acting if we need to act. But if the restraint is only about making ourselves smaller and like we don't count, I don't think that's healthy for anyone. But if restraint is about I count, I'm important, there's more important things here than my surface reactions, my reactivity to what's happening in the moment, let me restrain here so I can touch in with myself and be with myself in some deeper way. And you feel the benefits of that. Wow, this is great. Then maybe the practice of restraint is something you want to do. So we learn about it in meditation. We learn about it in the ethical life that we live. And then having that as a strength, then hopefully we develop the wisdom to know when in our lives it's appropriate and healthy and beneficial to practice restraint. And when practicing restraint is in fact an expression of freedom. Because you're using your choice to not give in to impulses that you don't want to give into, that you don't feel good about. So I would argue that if a person has a habit of swearing, and it just comes so natural to swear all kinds of terrible words, are they free if that swearing just comes out compulsively, just every other sentence is a swear word? Or do they become freer when they choose not to say those words? And I would argue they're actually freer when they've learned to restrain those words. So the restraint there is an act of freedom, asserting freedom, as opposed to losing freedom. So the practice of restraint. And that's certainly worth thinking about. And perhaps it's something that we can borrow a little bit more from the Asian Buddhist tradition. Maybe there's a good reason why it's a big part of the Asian Buddhist tradition. And if you hated this talk, you can tell me. You don't have to restrain yourself. So, thank you.